really old. Shows some of the pictures of the really old ones long before my time.
Mary, have you ever made any plans of where you'd like to have this material?
That's what the rest of the
cotton is. Say one word. Mm-hmm. I told her after, I said, they thought you might just make a break. Yeah. Not intentionally, but mm-hmm. Do it.
This is my pin.
Now, I remember them pins. And this is another one.
That's the state one. We all get that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a graduation. I don't, of course, wear it. I just said
no,
it on the date card.
I think my place are the date and it's the place and the home.
Okay, well, why don't you just...
State of Rhode Island, I think.
Why don't you just...
Now, do you want to put that down on yours first?
Yeah. Why don't
well,
you just
I did ahead, say it all on mine
oh,
already.
Okay, well, let me just read it off then. For
can you?
Today's the 22nd of June, 1973. And last night was the Midnight Sun ball game. Not that that has anything to do with this. We're at the home of Mary and Sam White at 902 Kellam, Fairbanks, Alaska. And with Mike Dalton speaking is Doris Southall, a nurse. And we're here to talk to Mary White. And Doris, why don't you ask a few questions?
Mary, where were you born?
In Millbrook, New York.
And what were your parents' name?
Reverend and Mrs. Thomas Burgess.
And can you give us some of your educational background?
Oh, I didn't. I just went to high school a couple of years and then to boarding school a couple of years. And then to Deaconess School for 2 years. That was a mission training. That was later.
And your mission training, I'm sure, was a big help to you when you came to Alaska.
Well, that's what I came for, the missionary.
What nurse's training school or hospital did you graduate from?
Rhode Island Hospital in Providence, Rhode Island.
What year was this, Mary?
What year was what?
When did you graduate?
Oh, I graduated in 20... You make me nervous now.
1926. How many were in your class that graduated
any,
with
I
you?
I haven't any idea. there was a big class, but I've no idea how many.
Mm-hmm. Was this a 3-year program or?
Regular 3-year program. Mm-hmm.
What fields of nursing did you work in before coming to Alaska?
Well, I had only graduated a little while. I did a district nursing for a while after I graduated, and a few cases, that's all.
But you said, Mary, you said that you were trained for missionary nursing?
Missionary nurse, yes.
Could you describe the, was that a particular type of training for missionary work?
Yes, that was Episcopal Church training in Deaconess School in Philadelphia of the Episcopal Church. That was nothing to do with the nursing. The nursing was just incidental.
I see. Mm-hmm. So when you took nursing, you intended to become a missionary nurse.
Yes. Yeah.
And did you think you might go to Alaska, or did you know?
Yes, I went. I applied for Alaska because I was older than a good many of them, and they didn't approve of the very young ones coming to Alaska.
So in addition to your nurse's training,
it has nothing to do with the nursing, really, just incidental.
So you took 3 years of nurse's training, and then
3 years of nurse's training, 2 years at Deaconess School.
So I
that's
see,
5 years in all.
So you were well prepared for a missionary.
I hope so.
Mary, the other nurses that attended the Deaconess School, this missionary school, did they all come to Alaska or go to other countries?
Oh, they went to all the countries, but they were not nurses, just anybody who wanted to take the training school, Deaconess School.
Why did you come to Alaska to nurse?
Because the head of our training school had been in Alaska a great many years. Little Deaconess Carter, she was up at Allakaket for a great many years, and then she came and was the head of the Deaconess School.
Where did you work in Alaska, Mary?
just for Chukon. I was there less than a year when I was married.
Tell us some of your nursing experiences while in Fort Yukon.
Well, we had it's a very small hospital, and they didn't do much surgery. I know they had quite a time with surgery. Sometimes the equipment would be out and all that, and we had a young doctor that was just supplying that year. And I had a children's ward, mostly TB, and there were cute little fellas, but they had this the native streak of cruelty. A little animal would come out and walk along, and they'd say, "Oh, isn't that cute? Kill it right off!" You know, they just had that streak, and they were just gentle little things. I used to go in and take the little ones, take one up in my arms, and sing to them, dance to them, just in the evening to quiet them down. You know. And they were awful sick, babies, and most of them died. There's so much TB. And then we only had a few rooms for grown-ups, just a few. They were usually pretty far gone when they got to us.
Well, this hospital, was that the
Hudson Stuck Memorial Hospital. Yes, and it's gone now, of course.
Yes, of course. What year did you go to the Hudson Stuck Hospital?
Oh, it's the year I came up here. 27, I guess. It was right after I graduated.
When you got out of Deaconess School?
I got the Deaconess School quite a while before.
Oh, I see.
And
at this hospital, you said it was difficult for surgery. Well, did you take care of other cases?
They didn't attempt much surgery. It's just a very small hospital. They sent them out to other hospitals. And I know they had a time with anesthesia, and the equipment sometimes wouldn't be right up, you know. And so they didn't do practically any surgery, very little. It was mostly TB and things of that sort.
Did you have many maternity cases, or did the Indian women have their children?
No, I don't know what they did with them. I don't think we had any. It's a very small hospital, you know, so just about 24 patients in all, you know, a few private rooms for the grown-ups and the children's ward, and that's all there was, and just two nurses, me and another one.
And a doctor?
Yes, a doctor.
And what was his name?
Well, it was Dr. Burt's hospital, but he had gone out on a year, and I can't remember the doctor that substituted. He was young. I'm stupid about names. I've forgotten what his name was, but he was a nice man. He was only there filling in for a year, and he didn't. And the boats would come in once a week, and we'd dress the children all up in little red jackets, and they'd sit up, and the people would come in and wander around and ask unnecessary questions, because, of course, the children all talked English. And they'd say, I know there was one boy about 8 years old that was a tourist, and he kept saying, "What's the matter with that one? What's the matter with that one? Who? What's the matter with that one?" And I had an awful time with him. And then the children would calm down afterwards, but they're all excited about the boat. You'd see the smoke down the river, and then they'd all say, "Boat coming, boat coming!" And they'd all the children that were up and around would run down the wharf and see the boat come in, you know. And then the tourists would come in and gaze at us and then go away afterwards. It was just the two of us nurses there. And the other nurse was married and lived in the town.
Were there other Caucasians, white people in Fort Yukon?
Oh, yes. Well, there was a store, and I guess quite a good deal of drinking. I didn't have any to do with that, of course. And a church. And I used to have the service sometimes when there was nobody else.
You conducted the church service?
Yes. Well, we were trained for that, of course.
Yes.
We didn't do it necessarily, but and had Sunday school and all. And
but you talked about boats, Mary. When you went to Fort Yukon, how did you arrive there? By riverboat?
Yes, riverboat. That's the only way you could. There was no flying in those days.
No
it
flying?
Hadn't started much of any, you know.
Yeah.
And you came up river in a boat. And the boats would come up one day, and in a week they'd come back and go the other way. And that's all the communication we had with outside.
Well, did you go to St. Michael and then up the Yukon River to get to Fort Yukon? Or did you come to Fairbanks?
No, we didn't come to Fairbanks. That was later. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me how we came. Anyway, we came up by boat all the way. And, mm-hmm. and
in 1927, the Yukon and the Tanana's were the main travel routes
yes,
in the
I
summertime.
I know after we were married, we went to Anchorage by boat. I don't mean Anchorage, I mean Nenana, and then up by train to here.
To Fairbanks.
But I remember Sam left me with the toughest woman in this hotel. I don't know whose hotel it was, but she was awful tough. I'd never seen anything like that near two. And the bedroom that we had the wildest color. It had about six or eight different colors, red and blue and green and rugs and all kinds of wild things. And then he went off and left me with this tough woman, and it kind of horrified me because I wasn't used to that kind of people.
Was that here in Fairbanks?
That was Nenana.
Nenana.
Yeah. I don't know who she was, but I've forgotten. And of course I hadn't seen anything like that. I hadn't been anywhere but Fort Yukon here.
I think about that time Nenana was a bustling railroad town and quite a few people living there.
I don't remember Nenana at all, except that after a while our church had a big school there, boarding school, which has been discontinued. You know, nice, good. I knew all of them workers there in the boarding school. And then we came up here. That's 40 years ago, and it's a long way to remember all the details.
Mary, do you have any members of your family in the medical profession?
My brother is a retired doctor, medical doctor, and he has done a good deal of instructing. I have my nieces have married doctors, and it confuses me. I have three nephews that are doctors and two grandnieces that are doctors now, and one of them is in Anchorage.
And what is his name?
Burgess. They're all named Burgess. That's my family name, and her name is Burgess. Dr. Joan Burgess. She's a full-fledged MD. Quite proud of her, but she's only been down there a little while. Nenana. And I don't mean
Anchorage.
Nenana, I mean Anchorage.
Yes.
Yeah. And she's getting all right. She came up here to see me and nearly walked me off my feet. I can't walk much, and she's big and athletic, you know. We went out to that big church meeting at Alaska Land. Whew, she walked me to pieces. See, I'll be 85 in September, and I can't walk very much. I get tired easy.
When you came to Fairbanks, did you do any nursing in Fairbanks after your...
A little, yes. I did... I worked for Dr. Delaverne a little while, and I did quite a little office nursing for old Dr. Romy.
Dr. Romy,
I worked for him got a while. And I think it was a Dr. Chase that I worked for too. Can't remember him at all. But I didn't do much, I didn't do any outside nursing at all. I nursed in the hospital for about a month. Sam's hands were very badly burned. The cabin burned down, and they brought him here, and I went. We used to go to the hospital every day, and because he couldn't, he was helpless. Both hands were, and then they sent him up to a hospital outside, and he got all over. Of course, he's all right now.
Was this a cabin out of Fairbanks, or was he living out of Fairbanks?
No, he flew for a great many years for Wien Airlines, and he was out in the. In a town outside, not outside, I mean out of...
A village?
Village, yeah. And the cabin got on fire. But they got they finally cured it up. It's out of shape, but it works all right.
But, so that was just about the only...
I didn't do much nursing here.
Nursing in the hospital.
I did, that's about all I did. It helped a little bit once or twice. But I didn't take any private nursing. Trouble is I can't remember. I'm getting older.
When you were at Fort Yukon nursing, did the hospital at Tanana exist? Was it there yet?
No.
The native hospital at Tanana?
No.
It
that was started, I think, about the time that they gave up the Fort Yukon Hospital. You know, they didn't need both.
Yeah, Doris, do you know about the date on that? I'm not. I don't have much background on that Tanana Hospital.
I don't remember either.
When you worked at the St. Joseph Hospital, was that the old section before the new was built on?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
How many rooms were there, do you recall?
I don't know. I don't remember. I had an operation myself and was there. And $8 a day for a private room. That's some different than nowadays. And yeah, I liked the old hospital. Hate to see it go.
Have you seen our new hospital?
Just once went up with a crowd of people, and they didn't take you very far. I just went over part of it. I haven't been otherwise.
Someday we should take Mary to the new hospital and show her.
I'd like to be taken by somebody who, you know, when I went to see opening day, and they had crowds of people, and they only took in children and everybody else, and it wasn't. You
yes.
couldn't see anything.
I remember that day very
and
well.
And every room would say, no admittance, can't go in. So we couldn't go into any operating room or any dressing room or anything like that. Just very unsatisfactory. You couldn't see anything.
I wished I'd known that. I would have taken you on a tour before that because of the crowd.
I'd rather go at a time when there wasn't such a crowd.
They estimated there were about 5,000 people.
Oh, an awful lot of people were there.
I was out of town then.
Tremendously big crowd.
Yeah.
Mary, what year were you and Sam married?
I've forgotten so long ago. Well, it was the 26 or 27. Just I graduated from the hospital and came up to Fort Yukon that same year, and I was there about a year, so it must have been 27. Mm-hmm. I had been there just about a year. I was supposed to say 3 years, but probably might lose Sam, so I didn't.
How did you meet Sam?
Well, he was there, a game warden.
A game warden.
He used to go zipping by the hospital, and he's standing behind his dog team, you know, and he looked very romantic. And there wasn't. We were married in the. I didn't dare tell my family I was married by a woman commissioner. Yeah, my family, my father was a clergyman and my grandfather was a bishop and all that, and they had a fit, but then. Wasn't anybody else there at the time. And we came down here. See, he was transferred to Fairbanks. And so we came down by boat and train up.
For me, Nana.
He didn't fly till quite a while later. He was game warden for 15 years, and then he flew for himself for a little while, and then he flew for Wien for a great many years.
Did he learn to fly here in Fairbanks?
Did he? Yes. One of the Wien brothers taught him.
I see.
Ralph that died was killed, you know, and Noel.
Did you fly often with Sam?
Did I fly? No, I wouldn't go on a plane for anything. I'm not much good as a pilot's wife. Because I don't like to fly. Nope. But they wouldn't be any good written up. And other things too. One day my older brother, who was an Episcopal minister, came to visit me. Of course, it had to be that day. That one of the patients in my ward had died, and I never knew it. And they didn't know whether it was my fault or the fault of the nurse that took my place, you know. But she was only 18 and quite pretty and young, and I thought it would be better for me to take the, because my brother was on the staff and they never would have said much to me anyway, and then I was so old, you see. So I don't know now what happened, but the night nurse came to me, the night superintendent, and she said, "Don't let it bother you too much, Mary." She said, "That woman would have died anyway, and she should have been put in the special room with special orders." And she was just curled up in bed, and I thought she was asleep. When I went off duty, I just went wrong. So they said, "Next, hereafter, when you're busy and you're nursing, be sure everybody's alive and all right when you leave the ward." But it didn't distress me particularly. She was a little. And the superintendent said, "Don't let it worry you, Emma. She'd have died anyway." Said she was a bad heart case, and she should have been special ward notice for me. So it didn't break my heart after all the worst things. And we had awfully funny things. We had one great big funny, I guess he was an Italian or I don't know what he was, but anyway, he had both his legs cut off. And he used to think it was great fun to pretend that he was going to fall out of bed. And the nurses would come to make his bed and he'd say, "Oh, move on. Don't, Mr. Denzel, come, look how you'll fall." It was a terrible time with him. He was just doing it for fun, you know, of course. And, let's see. Oh, and then when we were in the hospital, you wouldn't want to publish these things. When I was in the lying in, we had 3 months in the lying in, you know, and there was a woman there that was half-witted. You could see she was defective. And she had a baby, and the poor little baby, of course, looked a little queer. And she said, "I think all women should have a baby just for the experience." We were having such a bit, should have the poor little thing anyway. But I suppose that poor baby grew up to be half-witted too. Must have, because it started that way. Oh, and then we had, I don't know who's telling you these things, you can't publish them, but one of my classmates was a very good nurse, and she was a senior nurse, and they were having class of some kind, and asking questions, and we were, it seemed to me they made us give douches every 5 minutes, and so we didn't pay attention to it. And they said, "Now, Miss Boyer, how do you measure for a douche? How do you put in the medication?" She said, "Oh, we just dump a little in." Well, of course, what we did, staff was furious. He said, "A senior nurse." Well, it was only a douche. It wasn't anything they were taking to the stomach, you know. Yeah. It wasn't going to hurt him, and so we couldn't be bothered with anything. We just dumped a little in. They never did get up with that. She's a fine nurse, too. She, of course, graduated 1,000 years ago. Oh, let's see what else. I had a whole lot of things I was thinking of, funny things that happened. They called me Grandma all the time. I was very much older than the other nurses, of course. I'd done a lot of other things first before I went and took nursing.
What did you do before you went into nursing, Mary?
Well, I went to Deacon School. That was before, you see. And then I tried nursing when I was 20, and I was awfully young for my age, I guess. Hadn't had much responsibility, and been brought up by my aunts, and they did everything. My mother died when I was a baby. And, what was I going to say?
Did you ever work in a store?
What?
Did you ever work in a store?
Oh, which is no. Mm-hmm. I never worked anywhere.
Well, was it all church work you did?
I didn't do any work. I was, you know, I tried to find something. I tried nursing in the Children's Hospital in Boston, and I wasn't any good. I hadn't had enough responsibility. My aunts had done everything, you know, and I remember when I was just first there, and wasn't trying to do anything fresh, but they told me to go down to that I've got a fracture, my wrist is crooked, you know, and they wanted the interns to see that and said, "Go down and let the intern look at your wrist." So I went down and went right through Intern Alley. I didn't know there was any place I wasn't supposed to go. And I was standing there with the nurses. The intern was holding onto my wrist, you know. I was only. And the sister came down, the head sister came down. she could see that I didn't, there wasn't anything, I wasn't trying to break any rule because I didn't know there was one. She thought that was awful funny.
Did she think you were holding hands with the intern?
She thought I was holding hands with the intern. I'd gone down there in the wrong way to get to it, you know. But I didn't know any better. It was perfectly harmless. And they called me to the office and they said, "What made you think you could be a nurse?" And I said, "Oh, well, I wanted to do something useful." "Well, I think what you'd better do is to go into welfare work, not try nursing." Because that was a long while before I finally tried. I tried several other things, and my doctor, medical doctor, you know, he said, finally, he said, "I can get you into nursing class." I was 30, over 30-something, almost the upper age. And they weren't going to, you know, they wouldn't even, but on his account, they let me in. And I got along all right. Of course, I was used to taking orders at the Deacon School, you know, and I didn't mind. I never put on any airs or anything. But I had one advantage over some of the young girls because I'd lived in a doctor's house and I knew the medical terms and I'd read up things a lot, you know. So some of those girls were only just through high school and they were only about 18 or so, you know. They had an awful time with some of the medical words, and so they used to copy my notes because that was just happened to be that way.
So you were close to 30 when you entered nursing school?
I was over 30. I can't remember how old I was, but old as the hills anyway. As I said, they used to call me Grandma. And one of my doctor brother's roommate in medical school, and then he roomed with us afterwards, Dr. Chase, another doctor, and I knew him awfully well. And he had no inhibitions at all about talking, and here I was, a probationer, trying to be very humble. And they had a group of us watching an operation from up in the, up, you know, where they stand. And right in the middle of it, Dr. Chase says, "You ought to see this, Mary, this is interesting." Trust me, almost to that. Here I was being a humble probationer, and he was talking to me right from the surgery. Nothing bothered him. He's died now, of course.
Mary, where all did you live in Fairbanks?
Fairbanks, that's a long time ago. I was. This is Providence. Oh, where do we lived all? Oh, we lived here. We lived in eight different places before we finally got this house. We lived in one house. It's out in Alaska land. It's the place, I think, where people go in to register. It's got a roof that goes up this way, funny French roof. Well, that used to be down here on 8th. We lived in that for a while, and Sam put a tin on the roof.
Kitty Hensley house.
We lived in that for a while, and there were some Cox boys. Their father was kind of half-wit. In fact, after a while, he murdered somebody, so they had to tuck him away. And we were sorry for the boys because the mother had run off with the potato digger. So they had no mother.
Sakes.
And these two boys, they were about 6 and 8. And that has the second story, you know. And we had a little mattress up there, a cot mattress. And those boys used to get up on top of this little stairway, which just went down just like that, you know. And they'd sit on this mattress and hold it up like a canoe and then go boo down the stairway. Poor little fellas.
Is that in the Hempstead
house? We used to have them come quite often at night, you know, and let them stay. Their father would get off. And finally, the father murdered somebody, so I don't know where the boys are going, but I've often thought of them. One of them went in the Navy, and he used to write to me when he was in the Navy, but Cox boys.
Well, that was just about one block from
here.
This location.
And we lived way down on Wendell Avenue one time. And that was a house you couldn't shut the door. And so we piled up tin cans and things on a chair in front of the door. So if anybody came in, they'd make a noise. And the only way you could wash was, I'd never done any washing in my life, you know, and washing clothes. And you'd have to take a chair and you'd put a tub on it and then carry all the water into the living room and wash. And if Sam wanted to comb his hair or anything, he'd have to stand and hold the door open with one foot, and then it would swing back. And we had no, The kitchen was about that big, a little bit of a thing. We were there for a little while. We live way down on First Avenue, way down 1300 First Avenue. That was a funny house. I know, the only way you could get to the bathroom was walking right by the foot of our bed. So if we had a man guest, it was a little embarrassing sometimes. You had to go by and through there. And that house is still there, I think. I've forgotten the name of the people who owned it. Oh, we lived all over the town. And finally we bought this house. I don't know if we bought it first or not, I guess we did. But when we came up here, there was nothing but brush all around here. And there was no road through at all. They put the road through while we were here. And no 9th Street, nothing up here. And then the Weeks Field, Sam had a hangar up there. And I used to go up and take the cat and sit and crochet and while Sam was working on the plane in this hangar.
That's probably why you're located right here, because it was close to Weeks
Field. Well, I don't know why we found this house, but it's a little old couple.
It was close to Sam's work.
It used to be, had just two rooms. They had done, then they added this part to it, and finally we bought it. And then this, across the street here, where Bishop Gordon's house is and everything else, that was just a field where the waterman kept his, took his horses and let them out in the field, and there was nothing else anywhere around. And we used to, when there was a laundry man that was very congenial, I don't remember which house we were living in then, but I'd be trying to take a bath, and there was no door between the living room and this little kitchen place, the only place you could take a bath, and he used to come open the door without knocking at all and say, "Only the laundry man!" And I used to say, "Well, I don't want the laundry man right now, thank you." He was a funny duck. And then there was old Helen, you know who Helen Callahan is?
Yes.
Well, her father, who wasn't really her father, I guess she's glad because he was an old drunken bum. And he used to live down, we used to have the line. So he used to go over every day for the time he was had both hands bandaged. He says, no, he didn't need to go at all, but then I had to.
Well,
somebody had to take care of him.
Particularly.
And I used to stay for the dressing. I didn't help, but I was awful, awful painful for him.
Well, Mary, you were a deaconess in the Episcopal Church.
Yes.
So when you and Sam moved to Fairbanks, did you work, do volunteer work with the church here in Fairbanks?
Oh, gracious, yes. I taught Sunday school for years and years and years. And I have only one talent, and that is I can tell stories to children, and I used to tell them the Bible stories, you know. Plus, I haven't done it for a good many years now, I'm too old. But
did you do that every Sunday?
Every Sunday for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And I've got grown-up people. What's his name? The head of the bank, the head of the First National Bank.
Bill Stroker?
I used to have, not Bill Stroker, but the other one.
Ed.
I had Ed for a while in Sunday school, and I had a lot of them, you know. Mm-hmm. But of course, we lost the hall, and then now we've got it back again. But
how did you lose the hall?
Oh, Mr. Warren went and rented it to Alaska Alcoholics Anonymous, which was a crazy thing to do.
Oh, that was just
it brought in a lot of money, but we had no hall. And every time we had a big dinner or a bazaar or anything, we had to rent from another church. And it used to shame me awfully because we've gotten it back now, but
who was the first Episcopal priest? Who was the Episcopal priest in Fairbanks when you came from Fort Yukon?
What was his name? I know him perfectly well. He's died now, I think.
And did you, while you're thinking of that, maybe his name will come to you, but did you sing in the choir?
No, I can't sing. I know the hymns. I know them all back and forth, but I haven't any sense of music at all. I'm absolutely unmusical.
I know Eva McGown used to sing in the choir.
Yes, Eva used
for years.
I remember one of the little girls said, "Why does Aunt Eva make such funny faces when she sings?" Poor old Eva. Of course she did, you know, she used to make very, very artistic and very Poor old Eva.
This was just her trait, though. This is the way Eva was.
Yeah, she was awfully funny. And she wouldn't let anybody help her up the steps when she went up for communion. She fell down once, and they hit by the time lifting her up. Didn't hurt herself, but pitiful way to die. That didn't take long, I guess.
Did you ever stay, you're talking about Eva's death at the Nordale. Did you ever stay at the Nordale Hotel, and Sam?
Never stayed anywhere at a hotel here. In these funny houses with Sam.
But you stayed in one hotel in Nenana, the one you just
Yes, that was here. only over one night, I wait for train. That was a wild shock for a Boston back bay grandmother, New Englander.
Do you and Sam have any children?
No, I'm sorry to say, I guess I was too old. I was almost 40 when I was married to see. He has 3 sons. He was married before. And one of them has done very well. He was on Maine State Police for a long time. He's coming up this summer with his wife.
Oh, what is his name?
It's White.
His first name.
Don't ask me things so fast. I know perfectly well.
We'll ask Sam when he comes home.
Well, I know perfectly well, but I forget. That's the problem.
Will they be here at Golden Days time?
I don't know when they'll be here. He said it would be later this year than usual.
That would be fun to have him here.
Well, Sam was a chief one in Golden Days, don't you know? Nothing bothers Sam.
Is this the same son that was here last year?
Yes. When was he here? He was here before, yes.
Last year.
I can't remember my own name half the time. It's awful to get old. Then I get along pretty well. We were quite pleased to get that extra money, you know, that they give all the old people. If you've been in Alaska 40 years and haven't gone out, we get $100 apiece, $200 every month, just as a present. That's why we're fixing the house. So we put an extra room out in the shed for any guest that comes that could be put in the shed, and it's going to be quite a nice little room. And bought a couple of beds and things like that, because we always have a lot of company in the summer. People come in and stay for a few nights. And my family doesn't come. I wish they could. Of course, they're getting older yet.
Has your family come to visit you in the summer?
My aunt came years ago. She was funny. She was about 75 when she came, and she was very slow. She was always seeing bears and things that weren't there. She had a great time here. And one of the nurses, who was one of my classmates, she came with her because she didn't feel she ought to take that long trip alone. But that's all my relatives that have been up here, except this grandniece is here now, but I hardly know her. She's in Anchorage. She'll get along all right. She's that kind.
Did you travel to Anchorage in very many times over the Alaska Railroad came to?
I came up here. I went out once. We went out once, and I went out and had a long trip. I went down by way of California, and then went to Florida and up into New England and visited. That's the trouble. If I went out, there'd be too many visits to see, too many people to see, you know. Oh, I couldn't do it now, because I'm not very strong. I was awfully sick a couple of years ago, and I lost 40 pounds. I went right down. I've gotten some of it back, but I was pretty sick for a while there. But I didn't go to the hospital. I stayed right here.
Well, Mary, you said that you taught Sunday school at the church every Sunday, but you couldn't sing very well, so you didn't. You were not in a choir.
No.
But did you help with the bazaar every year?
Did I what?
Did you help with the Episcopal Church bazaar?
Yes, I used to do embroidery when nobody wants embroidery anymore. But when I was young, we wore camisoles and everything, all little tiny fine embroidery, you know. I used to be able to do that. But I'm not much use in household things, you know. I never was a good cook. See, my mother died and my younger brother was born. And now he's a couple of years younger than I. And this aunt brought us up and she did too much for me. Of course we had, you know, people had servants in those days because it was so much cheaper. I think they paid them something like $4 a month or something in expenses. So we had a Polish girl and then an Irish family girl too. But that's long, long ago.
When did Sam retire from active flying?
Well, when he was 80.
When he was 80?
He's 3 years younger than I am, but he's over 80. And they can't fly. He could fly perfectly well, but we had a plane. He owned a plane, you know, for a long time, and we sold it, and the man wanted so much, and he hadn't been up at all, and he went out and he was fixing it for the first flight, and he set it on fire and burnt it all down. There wasn't anything left but just the skeleton. He never got a chance to fly it. We went out and looked at it, and it was just simply a skeleton.
What a sad ending.
It was too bad. Well, I guess it didn't want to have anybody to fly it but Sam. He'd flown for so many years, you know, all over the country. He's doing all the cooking now. Since I was sick. We have some remarkable things, but they're a little too highly seasoned for me, but I have to eat them. And then I do all the cleaning up.
Well, Sam is famous for his beans, I know that.
Yes, he is. Everybody. He likes people. And people make me kind of nervous if there are too many of them. I don't know why it should, but it always has.
This winter, the Tananoy Yukon Historical Society had some of Sam's beans one Sunday.
Oh, well, they keep after him for that. Every time they have a big native, what do they call it?
Outlets.
And he has to make a great decanter. He said, no, that's a job, because he has to, the night before, he spreads them all out on the table. He puts a little water on so they won't fall off and sorts them all over. And then they have to be sorted, they have to be soaked, and they have to be seasoned, and they have to be on and on and on. He likes to do it. He doesn't have to, but he likes to. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't do that. I don't even butter.
Well, you say Sam does all the cooking now.
Yeah, he does all the cooking.
I see on your stove some chicken is thawing.
He's going to do that tomorrow. Yes, he'll fix that up tomorrow. He likes to cook. He wouldn't do it if he didn't like to, but he does. He likes to. And I do all the dishes. It's kind of hard for me sometimes, but I've got to do something.
Are you able to get out and shop, or can you walk very much?
I can't walk much. I've got one knee that's got a pain in it. I don't know what it is. It's just a nerve or something. But the last time I went to clinic, the doctor said, you don't need to come anymore. You're all right. So nothing wrong with me at all. Just getting old, that's all.
Have you and Sam had a garden every year?
No, I hate gardening. I never done it. I haven't even... Poor Mrs. Tilly, she fixes everything up and she works so hard, and all we do is grow dandelions. And the little girl who lives in the house behind us has a little grass cutter, I forgot what to call it. She sits in this thing and mows the lawn, and she comes and mows all along with her own.
That's a nice
just for fun, because she likes to do it, that's all. When we bought this house, the Tillys wasn't any house there. They built it after we'd been here about a year. And there used to be a garden, big vegetable garden in there. And we had strawberries, a whole big lot of them in the back of the house. But, because they've been gone a long time. Well, Sam was brought up on a farm, and I think he's a little tired of it. And of course, he wasn't here. He'd be away for weeks at a time, flying. I didn't mind being lone tall. I would now, but I didn't then.
When I drove up today, I missed seeing the big pile of...
Well, those fell down. You know, they were all
horns,
mounted on a
post.
Tree trunk. And they fell down one night with their own cord. So Sam I got kind of tired of the tourists. They'd come every day and ask questions and stand out there and pose and have pictures taken and everything. And they'd come and say, "Did your husband shoot all those animals?" Of course, he didn't shoot any of them. He just collected them on the street. And that's when he was game warden. And then they'd make faces and pretend they'd shot them all themselves. Now, they're out at Alaska Land. I don't know exactly where, but in the native village somewhere.
When did this big, huge pile of horns, when did it fall down?
Well, I don't remember that. It's several years ago. But they're out in Alaska Land. I'm not much at Alaska Land. I've only been a few times.
Mary, do you get to the Pioneers meeting very often?
I don't go at all. I never have gone.
Do you belong to the Pioneers?
I belong to it, I guess. I don't know whether I do. I went a long while ago. I remember one time how funny Eva was. You know how Eva always had so much manner. And she used to always late to everything.
I was just going to say,
she used to come in,
almost every
and she came in and, you know, the way she used to walk this way, and she had all kinds of bags and disguises and things. And she got halfway called, everybody waiting, and she dropped them. And she picked them all up and smiled and bowed, went along a bit and dropped them again. And everybody roared, it's so funny, poor Eva.
We have lots of nice memories of Eva, don't we?
Yes.
She
did a lot of awfully kind things for
people.
She was crazy as a loon in lots of ways, but she was kind, and she
very.
She meant awfully well, huh?
It was her mannerism that's...
Your remark about Eva being late, almost every Pioneer meeting I attended when Eva was there, she was always
late. She was always late to everything.
She made a grand entrance, not on purpose.
No,
just made a grand entrance. I really enjoyed Eva.
Well, she was down. She always was down to church, Episcopal Church, and they wanted her to have help, you know, up the steps, but she didn't want it, so she fell finally.
Do you still attend church regularly?
Do I? Yes, when I can. I mean, I almost always can. But we've been having a hard time, you know, because our right to left, and after a great many years, he got things awfully mixed up. He was very impractical. I was fond of him personally, but, you know, he went and bought 3 houses for the parish, you know, and we didn't need them. And they say that they spent an awful lot of money trying to keep it in repair. That Ensley, not Ensley, but what was her name? They used to give teas and things. Yes, I've forgotten the name. And then he rented the parish hall out. And now we're gradually trying to get back and trying to get somebody to take his place. They will eventually, because we have service every Sunday. But
you're talking about Ann Sheik's house? Ann Sheik? She was the one who had a house on First Avenue.
That's the one, I guess.
Yeah. Used to cater a lot of parties.
She used to cater for luncheons and things.
I think her name was, do you recall, Doris? I think her name was Anna.
That house,
Anna.
That house is going to pieces, you know.
It's quite old.
Leaked and everything else. It was a very impractical thing to do. He meant awfully well. That's the trouble. We were all fond of him. But he didn't have any sense of finances at all. He got the church terribly in debt. And still is. Probably always will be. I don't know what we can do about it. But the vestry is trying to find somebody to take his place. I don't know who'd want it, you know, because it's quite a burden. But they say most of the churches have financial trouble.
Is Sam a church goer?
No, he isn't. He never goes. He belongs, theoretically. When anybody comes and tries to give him literature or tell him about another church, he always says, "We're Episcopalians." And I said, "You're a hot Episcopalian. You never go." But then, that's what he's supposed to be. He was brought up on a farm, and I guess they didn't have much chance. His mother was a grand old woman. I knew her. But I guess there was no church anywhere near. He's a good man, though. He's a very kind man. He does a lot of awfully kind things for people. And he's painfully popular.
He is a kind man. He's thoughtful.
Very, very kind and thoughtful about people. And And he likes people around underfoot, and I don't always. But then this house is arranged so nicely because this is my room, and he never puts me out of that because he thinks I was, you know, quite sick. And if men call us, come to see him, they can stay in there and they can talk, and I can come in and I can go out the bathroom, take a bath, and go back to bed, no bother at all. House is very well arranged for me.
That's good.
Which isn't fair, of course. Mm-hmm. He sleeps in the little room off of living room. We had the groceries there because during the flood we lost everything, you know, down, so we don't put anything down the cellar anymore. So we put up shelves and put them in there, and so he sleeps with the canned goods, so he doesn't care.
Do you have a TV?
No, we don't like TV. He wouldn't have it in the house. We've had people lend us TV, and we haven't even turned it on. And we don't, we have two radios, but we don't turn those on either. Somebody gave me a radio, and I've never turned it on. I don't know, you get a newspaper and let it go with that. Got some awful nice neighbors, the Bachners right across here, you know. During the flood, he opened the door, and a man went by in a canoe, and he called him and said, "Hey, take my wife over to the neighbors, will you please?" So the man came up in the canoe and took me over to the Bachners, and I had a room myself upstairs. And their basement, of course, was flooded, but their house is high, and it didn't come in at all. So I stayed with them through. And we had a cat. We always had a cat, and Sam used to take the cat and go up a ladder, and we have a storeroom upstairs, and he used to sit up there with a little door open and eat his breakfast, and the cat would walk all around him, and everybody was so amused. He didn't do it very long, but
this was during the 1967 flood.
Yeah, during the flood. I hope we never have another one. It was awfully hard on people, you know. The houses that had concrete basements, they didn't know enough to relieve the pressure, and some of the concrete basements just split, and just the house would get a little sideways, you know. I don't think there was anybody really badly hurt, but down on Wendell Avenue in that part of town was awfully bad.
Yes.
So much water. I don't care if I never see another flood. It's awful. Awful hard on people. And the bishop used to put on his rubber boots and go wading by and up to his office and back again.
Now, Bishop Gordon lives right across the street from you.
Yes, he's leaving, you know, he's resigned.
He's retired or resigned?
Retired, yeah. He said he'd had 25 years of it, and he thought it's time they had a change. And I guess Shirley looks awfully tired, you know. She says, so many people coming and going all the time. And their daughter's going to be married this summer, Becky. They're next to the youngest daughter. She's going to be married in July. And they have a daughter, the oldest daughter has two children now, out in Seattle. I don't know who they'll get, but they'll have to get another bishop.
Who are some of your other neighbors?
Well,
you've named Gray and Lola Tilly.
Gray and Lola Tilly, of course, they're away all winter in Hawaii. And Sam takes care of the house while they're gone. Just go see if everything's all right. And then there's Bradner over here, and he has four little girls. And
that's is that the state representative?
Yes.
Mike
Bradner? And he takes them out. They're out in Juneau in the wintertime. The little girls are at school out there. But they're here now, carrying around. Sam's awfully indulgent with children. The other day I came, he said, don't go down cellar. Said, the kids wanted to go and explore. I said, did you let those kids down there? And that, you know, the floors and storeroom is weak, and never had them loose down there. I said, Sam, you're crazy. Well, they wanted to do it. And I said, well, no, they did. I wouldn't have let them.
Yeah.
They're cute little kids.
And then Bishop and Shirley Gordon live across the street.
And the Helmricks live opposite them now, you know. Bud Helmrick wrote that book
yes.
with a long chapter about Sam in it. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Sam has sold a lot of those books by sending them outside, you know, for presents and things. And they've gone back up to the Arctic. He's writing another book on the Arctic.
Yes.
And they've gone up there for the summer. The oldest son is here. They're not renting the house, they're just going to keep it open. use it for anybody.
Mr. and Mrs. Helmerich joined the Pioneers last fall.
Yeah. They're awfully nice people. She's very frail. Have to be awfully careful of them. They've got two boys and have done so well in school. She taught them with that Calvary. Not Calvary, but...
Calvert.
Tells my background. And they get straight A's and they're all... They're very brilliant. Mm-hmm. And she's awful nice, but awfully frail.
Well, Mary, on the table in front of us, there's a picture. Is this a picture of you when you graduated?
Yeah.
From nursing school?
Yep, that's me. And probably...
Nice-looking nurse.
Very good.
I can see why Sam White would go flashing by the hospital at Fort Yukon with his dog team.
I think he was just kind of hard up. There wasn't much competition up there.
And what are some of these other papers?
Oh, they're just diplomas.
Just diplomas.
Well, you see, we got several. Now, this I thought you might like to see because it's a funny old one. And they have no more nursing anymore. This is the last.
This certifies that Mary Sargent Burgess has completed the term of 3 years at Rhode Island Hospital Training School for Nurses, during which time her conduct has been satisfactory. Oh, I'm glad to hear that your conduct is satisfactory. And she has passed the required examinations.
This is
dated October 7th, 1926.
I don't know why they say it October 7th, because I thought I graduated in... Well, I guess it was just the class of 26.
So, it's signed by...
That's a funny old doctor that wouldn't let us
MDs.
Cut our hair. Peters.
Yeah, I don't he's know. The one who wouldn't let you cut your hair.
Wouldn't let us cut our hair. He's a funny old daddy.
And what are some of the others you have?
Well, there, you see we had... That's my church training one, which was in the flood, so it's all stained.
This one is about your...
That's not
from your
deaconess
school?
That's my deacon school. This is the city hospital. You see, we had three... That was lying in. We had 3 months for the lying in. So we got a separate...
This was after your nurse's training?
No, it was part of the nursing training.
That's Providence
City Hospital.
Well,
here's the lying in, another one. What is that?
This one is Providence City Hospital, Providence, Rhode Island.
Well, it's all Providence, Rhode Island, but I can't remember what. Well, that was...
This certifies that you have served 3 months as nurse in this Episcopal, in this hospital, and has passed satisfactory examination in theory and practice of nursing and infectious diseases.
Contagious diseases. Mm-hmm. Infectious, contagious diseases.
And this one
is lying in. That was just 3 months.
The Providence Lying In Hospital, Rhode Island.
We had 3 months separate and separate uniform and everything. What's this? You don't want to see all of these. That's just the registered nurse afterwards when I got registered.
You were registered in Rhode Island.
Yeah. It wouldn't be here, I suppose, but then.
You're number 1840.
1840. Used to get through. They scared us all through nursing, you know. That, oh, you wait to get to the examination. and they weren't hard at all. I got on the honor list and I'm not much of a scholar. I just...
Good for you, Mary.
What is this? You don't want to see all this junk. What is this? Oh, that's district nursing. District nursing. That comes in your senior year if you want it.
Now, your district nursing, that was go down in the different districts where they were like low income or the slum district and take
all
care
over
of those
Rhode
people?
Island, yeah.
Providence. What were some of your experiences down there?
Oh, I don't remember at all. A lot of just during the. Seems to me a lot of them died of flu.
Did you have to use improvised equipment in that area?
I don't remember doing anything but calling and checking on cases. Walking around. I remember eating a lunch in a restaurant one day. Of course, I was in district uniform. And, nurse, will you tell us, please? Some lady woman came up. Is it all right to drink water with your meals? I said, very solemn, I said, yes. I said, well, I said something about not doing any harm or something. Doesn't anything very important.
Mary, did you wear your long uniforms and high shoes, or were you allowed to wear Oxfords?
They didn't. I don't remember saying anything about our shoes. Mm-hmm. But of course we wore, well, everybody wore dresses, you know, shoe top mm-hmm. length.
But did you have high lace shoes, or?
Yes, well, some of them were lace, some of them were buttoned. I like high shoes. Make your ankles look so nice with them. Of course, you don't wear them anymore. Take too long to get in and out of them, I guess, nowadays.
What time did you have to get up in the morning and report in the dining room?
Well, let's see, what time did we get? Well, that's one of those questions, and I'm too stupid to remember. We went on duty. Did we go on duty at 7:30? I can't remember.
Well, did you go on at 7 and work until 7 at night? That used to be the hours that the nurses worked.
Well, that was too long. We didn't have 12 hours. We had time off in the afternoon sometimes.
Well, what did you have, about 2 hours off, and also had 10 classes during this time?
Yeah, we had classes. I don't think they were at night especially. I can't remember classes except during probation. We had a lot of classes, of course. And they were. I loved the classes. I liked that. I'm not smart at all, but it was, you know, I knew the language. A lot of the girls didn't. It was quite fun.
Did you have a whole day off or a half day off a week during your years in the training school?
I guess just half day. I don't seem to remember at all.
Do you remember the first amount of money you earned? What was your first pay and how much?
Land, I don't remember whether I was paid at all. Was I paid? Money never made any big difference to me at all. I suppose we were. I don't think we were paid. Why were we paid?
Well, when you came to Fort Yukon, were you paid?
Oh, yes, you were paid there. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember anything about it at all. Maybe we were just there with the, you know, given board and lodging. I don't think we were paid in Fort Yukon. No, but the church.
When you did private nursing, did you receive probably $5 a day? That was the basic pay at that time.
I can't remember at all about any pay, any time. I suppose I got it. I never did very much private nursing. I remember I nursed in Portland, where I lived, Portland, Maine, and a friend of the family. And I didn't like that at all because she treated me like a superior maid, you know. And I'd be all dressed up in uniform and the doorbell would ring and I'd, oh, this is my nurse and aren't you lucky to have Mary? And all I did was give her medicine once in a while, give her a little rug, and she wasn't much wrong with her. You know, she was just wanted a nurse, that's all. I didn't like that. That's kid stuff. That isn't what you take 3 years training for. I wasn't any good in the operating room. I haven't the self-confidence that it takes to make a good surgical nurse, but I love surgery. I love watching it. I love watching the operations. And I don't think I had much. We always had an older nurse with us while we were in training in the operating room. But when the doctor says, so fast, you know, I get rattled. I couldn't do it. I'm better off in the wards. You know, they're taking care of the patients.
Mm-hmm. You enjoyed children.
I love children. Well, I had a lot of care of children because I have nephews that I used to take. I used to take the baby for a month. That my oldest brother's wife was kind of feeble. She was always cutting something wrong with her.
And well, it takes patience to take care of children.
Well, I love children, and I used to take care of them, and I used to take care of them a lot. My brother, my doctor brother in Providence, his wife was little, and she had 4 children, and I used to go down there and live with them and take care of the children a lot. But I never had any of my own.